It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning going to keep one downfield. Pass the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 70 yards. Salsa time and Big D. Victor Cruz with another.
Play fake. Freeman back to throw. Under pressure. Heaves it downfield. Intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15. Cuts right back to the 20. Looking for a block up to the 30. And drag down there.
Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline. And it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Golzine takes the snap. Pass
intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul. And he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, the 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelt.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, or Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Happy Tuesday morning, everybody. My final show until July the 14th, the week before training camp. And I got to be honest, once this show's over and I step out of this building today, I'm not going to think about the NFL or the Giants for about 2.5 weeks. And I'm okay with that. Getting married Saturday, then off to Thailand for the honeymoon should be a lot of fun. But let's get right to Giants football, folks, all right? Here's the question for the day, and I thought it was a good way for me to kind of end this show, end my little off-season streak here of doing these shows in the morning. And here's the question I'm going to pose. And let me give the explanation of why I decided to pose it. Last year, heading into the season, we talked about the Giants and what they need to do to be a good football team, right? Here are the guys that we were counting on and we thought the Giants could count on to be a good football team. Hakeem Nicks, fail. David Wilson, fail. Bounce back year, Jason Pierre-Paul, fail. Brandon Myers coming in at tight end, fail. I mean, those are a lot of fails. Corey Webster bounced back year. Fail. Yeah, that's right. At this time last year, people were counting on Corey Webster to have a bounce back year. No joke. That's true. You wouldn't believe it based on how last season went, but trust me, fact. Fact. So all those things did not work out for the Giants. Those are the X factors, and there's a good reason they finished 7-9, and as you know, Len has pointed out a lot of times calling in this show. They probably played worse than that 7-9 record. They probably were more like a 5-11 or 6-10 team. You know, they won some games end of the year, made their record look better than they actually played. So, who are those guys this year for the Giants that can determine whether or not they're going to be good or whether or not they're going to be bad? And obviously, Eli Manning's the answer. But I'm not accepting that answer today. You're going to have to give me somebody else. Now, these are probably going to be guys that are question marks. You know, don't call in and tell me Victor Cruz. We know Victor Cruz is good. Don't call in. Well, you know, I guess you could call in and say Rashad Jennings. He's never been a full-time starter. You could say that if you want. I'll buy that. But don't call in and say Justin Pugh. We know what Justin Pugh is, a right tackle. He's going to be good. But if you want to call in and say Will Beatty, yeah, that's one. That's a big one. And that's who I'm going to pick. The Giants got to protect D-line. It starts at the left tackle, all right? So Will Beatty's got to play better this year. If he doesn't, this team's sunk. Sunk. I don't care if you have a new offense with short drops. If you can't protect, especially on the left side of that offensive line against those right defensive ends, guess what? You're going to have problems. All right? Another guy that has to play well. Jump over. You know what? I'll stick on offense for a second. I'd like to see Chris Knee play better. You know, Brandon Mosley hasn't shown he can stay healthy and play guard for you week in, week out. I don't trust John Jerry. I haven't seen him in spring practice yet. He's hurt. Mosley hasn't stayed healthy. James Brewer, he's gotten a lot of chances. I mean, I don't want to have to move Weston Richburg over to right guard here and then, you know, start J.D. Walton. I want Richburg to be able to play center, his position. So that's another guy. Can Chris Knee stay healthy? A big one. Can any of these tight ends do anything? I don't know. I mean, I think I did the math earlier today, and I did it really quick. I'm pretty sure Daniel Fells has more career receptions than all the other four Giants tight ends combined in their careers. That's not saying much. 3 out of 4 of 0. I shouldn't say that. Larry Donnell had, 6 last year, something like that. Three, you think? I don't know. Whatever. He didn't have a lot. That's the point. And Kellen Davis, I think, is like 40 career receptions or 50, and Fells had 41 in 1 year for the Rams. So, yeah. Can someone in tight end step up, please? Defensively, JPP, can he bounce back and have a big-time sack year like it's 2011? Someone needs to get some pressure on the damn quarterback. Is it going to be JPP? Can Kiwanuka in his second-year defensive end be consistent at getting to the quarterback? Maybe Ayers comes in and does it. Maybe Colin Jenkins has a big year inside. Maybe Demontre Moore explodes in year number two. But to me, the guy you need to be the difference maker is Jason Pierre-Paul. Can he do it? They need him to. And a lot of that's staying healthy. Can John Beeson get back and be the player that he is? Yeah, McClain will be fine backing him up, but he's not John Beeson. And wouldn't it be great to have Beeson and McClain on the field at the same time? Ooh, I'd like that. So can Beeson stay healthy and play middle linebacker? And here's a sleeper that not a lot of people talk about. And that's Stevie Brown. He's coming off an ACL. He had a career year his first year with the Giants. Before then, let's be honest, he was a journeyman player. He bounced from team to team. He was a seventh-round pick, all right? Can Stevie Brown come up with a year like that again, next on-trail role? I don't know. Last year, rolling Will Hill, one of the best safety combinations in the league. Can Stevie Brown look like he did 2 years ago? It's a great question. Great, great question. Larry Donnell, 3 catches, 31 yards in his career. Look up Kellen Davis and Fells for me. I want to see if that stat's actually true. Career receptions for all the Giants tight ends. That's Danny. And Danny's on the phone today. It's good to have Salomon back in the chair here for my last show. Dan enjoys the calls. So, that's what I'm looking at. And, of course, you want to throw Ben McAdoo's name out there, too, to see if he can install this offense. Because, remember, we know McCarthy's system's great and it works in Green Bay. It's a great system. It works. He's a good coach. That's fine. McAdoo's never done this before, folks. You know, he might have a good offensive mind. You might like his system. What if he can't implement it? What if he doesn't teach it well enough? What if he doesn't call plays well? This guy's never called plays before. How do you know he's going to have a clue calling plays? Nobody knows. I mean, he's a hardworking guy. He's a smart guy. He's a very serious guy. I think he's going to do great. But you don't know. He's never done it. So my X factors, BD on offense, JPP on defense. Those guys got to play well this year. And they'll be lining up against each other in practice. Those two guys have to play well this year if the Giants want to win the NFC East. And that's the standard I'm using. If you want this team to win the division, who do you need to have a big-time year? And you can throw in Randall in that mix too, or Earl Beckham Jr. if you prefer him. All right? That's all I'm saying. 201-939-4513. And by the way, it's not even close. Daniel Fells easily more receptions than all the other Giants tight ends combined. Kellen Davis in his, I think, 5 or 6 year career, 50 catches, 560 yards. Fells, I think, in his 4 or 5 year career, 92 catches, 1,000 yards. And then Larry Donnell chipping in with 3 for 31. And obviously, donut from Adrian Robinson and Xavier Grimble's a rookie. So, like I said, tight end's a problem. So there you go, folks. Bring it. What do you got? 201-939-4513. 10:30 today. That's when we're going to wrap the show. Let's have some fun for the next hour. Let's go to AJ in South Carolina. AJ, you're up first. What's going on, buddy?
Good morning, John. My question, my X factor from offense will be Eli Manning.
Well, Eli is the easy answer, AJ. Obviously, the quarterback has to play well for the team to win.
Because I think he needs to cut down his shutdown a little bit to the team.
Hey, look, you cannot turn the ball over that the Giants did last year and win football games. No question about it.
And my second question, do you think John Beeson will be ready for training camp?
No. He will not be ready first week of training camp. I don't think he'll play in any preseason games. That's just my opinion. Maybe they'll be able to sneak him in at the end of the preseason. But if reports are right and if what John Beeson and the Giants expect is right, if everything goes according to plan with the healing, John Beeson should be ready to go by the first regular season game. That's what their hopes are. We'll see if it's true. I'm sure it'll be touch and go. I'm sure it'll be close. I'm sure Giant fans will anxiously watch, and we'll see what happens.
Okay. That's all I got for today.
All right, AJ, thanks for the call, man. Good to hear from you, pal. 201-939-4513. I haven't heard from AJ in a couple weeks, actually. Let's go to Rocky down in Panama City. Rocky, what's going on, pal?
What's up, John?
What's going on, bud?
Hey, before I want to tell you congratulations, I want to make sure I called in before you left, and I got a couple things up.
Sure, Rock, sounds good, man. Thank you.
Okay, I was asking Paul and Anita the other day about McLean, and I hate to bash somebody, but I kind of agree with Steve and DC on that one. I asked, and then she starts rambling about Ray Lewis's house and watching video for like 8 minutes, and I'm like, well, you know, I try to hurry up and let the other callers chime in, but I'm still going to listen anyway, but I just wanted to get that out there.
Rock, what was your question and what was their answer?
That McLean, my question was McLean's coverage skills, and they said that he's fine and everything. I was okay with their answer. They just kind of drug on with it, and then they cut me off. But they just let me ask one question and then hung up on me like Steve was saying. But
well, Rocky, I'll say this about McLean. Frankly, you can watch tape all you want, and that's great that he was mentored by Ray Lewis and everything like that. If you're not fast enough to move side to side and quick enough to stay with guys, you know, I can sit here and watch tape for 20 hours a day. It doesn't mean that I can go out there and cover LeSean McCoy out of the backfield. So, I mean, honestly, you know, Beeson's not the best coverage guy in the world either. McLean isn't the best coverage guy in the world either. I think both guys could be considered liabilities in coverage, but I think they'll be good enough to, give the Giants what they need in the middle, whichever guy is healthy. But McLean, to me, is a downgrade from Beeson, but it's not a huge downgrade. It's not like you're going from, you know, Beeson to Herzlick. You know, McLean will give you a little bit more, so it's not going to hurt so much to have Beeson out.
Well, I remember Beeson got a pick last year now.
He did. That is true. I know. It was actually a really nice play, yeah.
Okay, I'm talking about Steve in D.C. I remember a couple of episodes ago, he was trying to lobby for Cox over Hillis, and I just don't understand his rationale on that. There's no way that I'd rather keep Cox than Hillis, whether Cox has some huge upside or whatever, which if he does, I don't really see it. But
Neither do I.
Too versatile and brings too much to the table to force.
I agree, Rock. I mean, look, I think Michael Cox has some good physical ability, but to me, Hillis is too valuable as a pass receiver and a pass protector. I think, let me put it this way, I could see a defined role for Hillis on this team. I'm not sure I see a defined role for Michael Cox.
Right, and he's okay returning kicks, but we know that he's not going to beat all the other returners out.
Yeah, of course not. Right.
Okay, and a couple more things. Pacinger, I ain't real familiar with his height and size, but have you seen him line up at Sam? It's like they haven't even thought about moving him over there, have they?
Honestly, Pacinger can basically play any of the three linebacker spots if you need him. So I think what they're trying to do is work in Kennard, get him a few more snaps at that spot, because they know Pacinger can step in there and basically play whatever spot they need him to play in a pinch.
Okay, yeah, I thought he could play all of them, and nobody said that he was lining up over there, and I was wondering what that was about. And the second thing about Herzlick, he's pretty much showed that he can't play Mike linebacker for us, and I just don't see burning up a roster spot for, no matter how good he can play special teams, just to be a special teamer. Why don't we just cut this guy and bring in somebody else?
I think we'll see in training camp if that's what happens. I think there's a possibility that could be in the cards for Herzlick. We'll see. You know, I think a guy like Dan Fox from Notre Dame can really push for Herzlick's spot on this roster, to be honest with you. I think he's an undrafted guy that had a lot of production in college. He's going to be a good special teams player. So I think Herzlick's certainly going to get pushed for a roster spot during training camp.
Okay, yeah, and what you were saying about DRC just shutting everybody down and it's non-contact in the OTAs, I'm really liking the sound of that secondary. I remember the other day you said it was scary, and I let me and my girlfriend laugh about it, because that's what I told her, you know, that we probably got the best group of secondary or corners in the league.
Nah, look, Rocky, I'm with you, man. Thanks for the call, bud. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling in.
All right, have fun in Thailand, John.
I will, dude. Thanks, Rock. Let me say this about the secondary in DRC. Look, his coverage has been off the charts. He's been mirroring people. It's like white on rice out there. He's been great, all right? Now, one of the hits on DRC has been unwillingness to tackle and run support. Now, in practice, I see him being in the right spot at the right time in run support. He gets in there, but there's no hitting. So is he going to be as willing to, you know, stick his nose in there and support against the run if you have, DeMarco Murray coming off the edge? Or Alfred Morris in his 230 pounds coming off the edge, running downhill at DRC? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see when we get to the regular season and see if that happens. I'm not even going to judge it off of preseason, because if I'm Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, I'm not sticking my nose in there in the preseason either. Let's be honest. What's the point? They're paying you to run around. They're not paying you to tackle, at least not in the preseason. I know Coach Coughlin will come down here and whap me upside the head for saying that, but seriously. I mean, you don't want Dominic Rogers-Cromartie getting hurt in run support in the preseason, and then you don't have him in the regular season. So that's all I'm saying. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Andrew in Stanhope, New Jersey. Andrew, what's going on?
Hey, what's up? The best line ever on Giants.com was, I think, Steve from D.C. He said, Eli, he walks around with that Mayberry look. But I guess, Eli, I'll give you some players, but I told Paul and Anita, but I think you brought it up, with the Eli, the famous play in Super Bowl history to David Tyree, it's looked at as just a jump ball by Eli. You know, he made the good play of escaping the sack, but Tyree bailed him out, which he did, but one time I saw a wide shot where you see the entire field, and David Tyree broke free, and he was actually open for a second.
Oh, no, you're right, Andrew. It's funny you say that, because on Bob Papa's radio call, and this is the call that's always played back, and people always say to me, John, you know, Bob screwed up the call, because in the call, you know, he goes, Eli, back to pass, pressured, breaks up, breaks away, throws it, and he says, wide open Tyree. And in the call, he says, wide open Tyree, and people always say to me, John, why the hell did Bob say Tyree wide open? He's covered. Harrison's right there. And what I try to explain to him is that when Eli breaks free of that pressure, and it's the same thing you saw, Andrew, in that wide shot, Tyree's actually pretty open in the middle of that field. So when Eli throws the ball, he is open. The problem you have is that Eli didn't throw him a 20-yard dart on the line.
Right.
Eli throws it high in the air, so he gives Harrison a chance to close, and he basically turns what could have been, fire the ball in there for a wide-open catch. He turns it into a heave and a prayer because he throws the ball up in a lob in the middle of the field, which clearly is one of the cardinal sins of something a quarterback should never do.
You're right. See, I forgot about that part, and I was wondering, but you answered it. Was it before the throw? Before he broke three, or after, but it was after he broke three, but it was a bad throw, but it was true that he broke away from the coverage.
Correct.
And you don't have to tell me if it's a trade secret, an industry secret, but Bob Papa, speaking of the call, I remember live, he said, Eli, sacked. He breaks free, sacked again. And then when you listen to the call after that, you don't hear the word sack. You just hear Eli. He breaks free.
Well, honestly, I would have to go back and listen to the original call.
Yeah.
But what people do, they will take those calls and they will edit them down to make them a little bit cleaner. Because a lot of times with these highlight shows, Andrew, they have to fit the play-by-play call into the length of the highlight. So what they'll do, they don't show the full play. They'll cut between different angles. And when they cut between those different angles on TV replays, they'll actually shorten the duration of the play. So while the play might have taken 15 seconds in real life, the replay they show takes 7. So they have to find 8 seconds of that live call to take out to fit the play to the radio call. So that's when you get them taking out certain words in certain parts of that call.
That was history. Interesting, because I did notice that it was different. The word sack was not in the later replay of the call. I just want to say I love that Mayberry line, but you were talking about Eli, and Eli is impressive because of his lack of skills. Like, I compare him with Larry Bird, who was more talented as a, player in basketball. He's one of the greatest ever. I'm not saying Eli's one of the greatest, but the lack of talent. Like, if you compare Larry Bird to Shaquille O'Neal or Michael Jordan.
Well, Andrew, I wouldn't say lack of talent. I'd say lack of raw athleticism. I mean, Larry Bird was extremely talented.
Right.
He could pass,
he could
shoot, but he couldn't jump out of the building. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. That's a better way to phrase it. So it's more impressive to see someone that doesn't have the athletic ability as much be so talented. And Eli's a wizard in the fourth quarter, which is even more impressive because you would think, well, a quarterback like Michael Vick, Steve Young, that could run, they're going to be more impressive. But Eli, who's the opposite of those guys, that's what the one defensive lineman said, that Eli looked like Steve Young on that play in the Super Bowl. So it's like more impressive that he's so good in the fourth quarter and that he's so good. He gets the most out of his ability, which is not that much physical ability, but he like maximizes. So it's even more impressive. And the players that you're talking about, I agree both on the JPP, then the left tackle. If we could have the whole offensive line healthy, Eli and I said Tyree, but I mean Cruz. And on the other side of the ball, if JPP is healthy, Beeson, and the four defensive backs, if they're all healthy at the same time, that would be a great, great team. And my player, I'll pick one player besides JPP. It will be the new guy from the defensive back, Cromartie.
Yep.
And have a good honeymoon. Drink a lot of ice water. We'll talk to you when you get back.
All right, Andrew, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. And thank you for all the Thailand tips as well over the course of the last couple of weeks. I appreciate it. 201. Excuse me, 939-4513. Tim is in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim?
Hi, I got a question. Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Tim.
Got a question for you. Would Andrew Allison make it back as a Giants starting tight end?
You know,
they didn't sign Jermichael Finley or Dustin Keller.
You know, Tim, it's a hell of a question. And I've, you know, out of all the questions I've gone asked this offseason, the one that I've gone asked the most is, will Adrian Robinson start a tight end, and who will be the starting tight end? And frankly, I give the same answer all the time, and nobody likes it. I have no idea who the hell is going to be the Giants starting tight end this year. In fact, we're doing this series on Giants.com while I'm away called 20 Questions. So I think me, Salomon, I'm not sure if Eisen's doing it or not. There's 20 questions, and we answer one of the questions. And I had to answer all the questions ahead of time because I'm going to be gone. So I just answered them all this morning. I sent them into Neelight, and they're going to be posted over the course of the next 20 days. And one of the questions was, I'll give you a little sneak preview, a little tease here, is who's going to be the Giants starting tight end this year? And my question is, and my answer to that was, literally, can I either flip a coin or have all five guys engage in a competitive game of rock, scissors, paper? And then whoever comes out on top, that's who I'll take. Because I got to be honest with you. I have no idea. If I had to pick somebody, I'm going to go with my dark horse sleeper, Daniel Fells. Like I said, he has 90-something career catches, 1,000 yards over the course of his career. I think he's the most polished receiver of the group. Again, I wouldn't be so concerned over who starts. I think he'll get a good rotation. I think you'll have a guy that's kind of like the pass catcher and a guy that's the blocker. And if I had to guess, it'll be Davis and Fells. Those guys have done it at least in short stretches in this league. Back to the phone. Let's go to Avery in New York. Avery, you're up next at 201-939-4513.
How's it going?
I'm doing well, Avery. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just also want to say congratulations. Good luck with everything. Have a great time. Come back safe, and we'll be looking forward to you when you return, and have a wonderful time.
Hey, it's thank really, you. I appreciate that, Avery.
Yeah, then this is your last day, is it not?
This is my last show until July 14th.
So that's why I had, well, last show until you, the nuptials and honeymoon and stuff.
Correct.
I wanted to at least call in and say that. But also, I've been saying for the past, as far as Giants, as the Giants are concerned, I've been saying for a while, my three biggest concerns have always been the O-line, Eli, and the pass rush.
Yeah.
And I'm still not, you know, the Beedy thing. Two major questions. One, who's behind Beedy in terms on the depth chart if he has a season like he did last year?
That would be the great Charles Brown, the guy, the veteran they picked up from the New Orleans Saints in the offseason, who happened to lose his starting job last year to a rookie second-round pick, Teron Armstead.
Okay, thanks. And is there any talk of possibility of them after the training camps of them bringing someone else, a veteran that's out there that may get released? Or
I have not heard anything, to be honest with you. I'm sure their pro personnel people are keeping an eye on something. Obviously, Jermichael Finley's still out there. That's a name that I'm keeping an eye on. And I went back and forth.
Not for left tackle.
Oh, for left tackle. I'm sorry. Eric Winston's a guy that's out there. There's another veteran that's out there. I can't remember his damn name. But nobody to me that would be a clear upgrade over Brown as a backup to Beedy. So I'm sure they'll keep their eyes open. If someone breaks free and becomes available, I'm sure they'll look at him. But honestly, I don't think there's anybody out there right now that would really be a difference maker, to be quite honest with you. And in my opinion, and from what Will told me and what from the team seems to be indicating, they think Beedy will be back on the field and ready to play in training camp. So hopefully that's the case and the Giants don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, but the thing is, we want him back at the – not at last year's level.
Well,
we
that's
want him
true.
Back so that – I mean, we want him back, right. But we don't want him back at last year's level.
No, I understand.
That's the thing. That's where my head is at. You know what I mean? It's okay we get the guy back. But we want him back performing at a high level,
right.
Not like he was last year. Okay, that's number one. Two, Eli Manning, do you think this new offense, and I know it's new, will increase his completion percentage? Because
His completion percentage goes up. Avery, I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
I
think his interceptions probably drop a little bit.
Yeah, because he's never been past 63%.
Yeah.
The entire time he's been here. I mean, that's amazing to me because the standard seems to be between 65 and 67. Even the great ones, though, the Breeze, so-called contrary to belief, there's only been one time that I looked over the past decade that someone's been at 70%, and that was Drew Breeze. And that was one time, what was in 2010 or something
right.
like that, I think he went to 70% or
yeah.
whatever the case may be. And JPP, how is he looking? I mean, that's my other concern.
Well, Avery, I'll say this.
We want him to be at a high level.
I'll say this about JPP. Obviously, I can't really tell a whole lot in OTAs and spring practice. There's no contact. I can tell you, in terms of the shape he's in terms of the body that he has on him, he looks better than he has, I think, since he's been here. He's dropped a lot of that fat. Used to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And look, you guys have heard me say this on the show. You see JPP walking around the locker room, there's always a little bit of a gut. There's always has been. And that gut is kind of disappeared, and he looks a lot better than he has. If he can stay healthy, Avery, I think JPP could get back to double-digit sacks.
Because he's the only one really on the team that we can expect, or possibly that can get double-digit sacks this year. I don't think there's anybody else on the roster that's proven that they can get double-digit sacks.
Proven they can do it? No, I think DeMontre Moore, if he got enough snaps, might have an outside shot at doing it. But I mean, maybe Kiwanuka. But you're right. If there's one guy you're gonna target to be a difference maker in getting sacks, it's got to be JPP.
It got to be JPP. That's my thinking as well. But anyway, those are my three main areas: is the O-line, Eli, and the pass rush. I think if we can really do well with those three areas, I think we really have a good chance of doing well in the division. I just think that, you know, the O-line has just been, it's been a problematic thing for, you know, especially last year. The whole line was bad last year, so it doesn't make any difference. But anyway, that's all I wanted to talk about. But good luck with everything, John, and thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Avery. I appreciate it, bud.
Okay.
Always good to hear from Avery. I haven't heard from him in a while. He does always participate on Twitter, though, during the show, which I appreciate. 201-939-4513. Let's go all the way out to Scotland and say what's up to Paul. Paul, is this good evening out there, I guess?
John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Paul.
Can you hear me okay? Life's pretty bad this end.
I can hear you okay. It's okay. Go ahead, Paul.
Great. Well, first of all, just to say big thanks. And, you know, I've been a long-time listener, first-time caller, and you know, out here in the UK, it's fantastic to have a show like this, just to be able to, you know, interact with the fans, and you know, we feel a lot closer when the show's on. So, yeah, thanks.
Well, Paul, thank you for listening out there. I know the Giants have a big contingent of fans out there in the United Kingdom, and we definitely appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of the show. What do you have for me today?
No problem. Just to touch on what you've been talking about in terms of, you know, who needs to step up. The way I think of it, I think the Pro Bowl players that we've had historically and last season, they need to step up and play like Pro Bowl players again. And I'm talking about JPP, Antrell, maybe John Beeson. I think he had a Pro Bowl a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think Beeson made a Pro Bowl back in like 2009, something like that, 2010 maybe.
Yeah, well, the guys that we consider are top guys.
Yeah.
They need to step up and play like top guys. But then we also need at least one, possibly two, of the outside guys to step up to that level as well. And I'm thinking maybe Prince, maybe Justin Pugh, if he can kick on. Jonathan Hankins, maybe.
Yeah, or
those are my guys I'm thinking.
You know, Paul, and in terms of the young guys, you could throw Demontre Moore in there. You could throw Ruben Randle in there. You could throw Beckham Jr. in there. You could pick out any one of those young tight ends, throw him into the mix. So, you know, I think you hit it on the head. And we talked about this last year, Paul. You know, last year the Giants had to count on the big-time players to do well. The Beaties, the JPPs, the Nixes, the Elis. And you know what? They all came up short. First-round pick like David Wilson. He didn't give you anything. It's the same deal this year. You need Roll to be good. You need DRC to come in here and play like a number one corner. You need Prince to play like a first-round pick. You need Eli to play better. You're right. If your star players in this league that you're dedicating all your salary cap space to do not play to that level, you have no chance of winning. And that really is step number one. I could not agree more.
No, I'm with you. And one other thing, I mean, I think, talking about the injuries, what's going to be crucial this season is keeping guys fit, or keeping the right guys fit, because it's a concern for me, especially on that O-line. You look, I think you've got BT, Snee, and Walton, three guys coming off of injuries that are question marks there, and that's a worry when you think you've got JTP, Beaton, and David Wilson coming back as well. There's a lot of guys coming off injuries there. That's a concern. So, you know, that's going to be something that's going to need to work in our favor if we're going to have a good year as well.
Paul, I agree. Hey, Paul, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening, bud, and we'll hear from you soon, okay?
Yeah, listen, good luck with your wedding. And one other thing, I call in, sorry, I get in touch every so often on Twitter. You call me Zomac, but just call me Paul Lepizzo.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay.
Do you recognize the name? You call me Zomac every so often?
I know exactly who you are on Twitter, so what do you want me to call you?
I'll send you a message. I said, good luck with the wedding, man. Thanks for taking the call.
All right. Thanks, pal. Appreciate it. All right. Always a good deal from Paul. Now, for you guys that have listened to the show before, you all know what a huge fan I am of the accents of the United Kingdom. Now, I can English, Irish, Scottish. You can throw an Australian into that mix. Wales, New Zealand. Big fan of all of them, so it's a little, what a nice bonus for me on my final show. I love hearing, seriously though, I love hearing from the fans overseas. Because look, I'm serious about this. If you listen to all the places our fans call from on the show, right, most of them are out of state, out of the tri-state area. Why? Everyone here in New York has WFAN. They have 98.7 ESPN radio. Though I'm not sure why you'd want to listen to that. And, you know, you have access to Giants content, Giants material, Giants talk, 24/7 in New York. But if you're out there in Scotland like Paul is, if you're, you know, down there in South Carolina like AJ is, if you're all the way, you know, down in Maryland where Len is, if you're in D.C. where Steve's at, or Baltimore where Shakes calls in from, you know, all these different places. We got a couple guys from Columbus, Ohio that call. We got Anthony out in Phoenix. We got Abe out in California. We have Stas out in Seattle. I mean, we got all these different guys, and we have another Seattle caller on the line right now. And, you know, you got all these guys calling from these different places, you know, where you don't get Giants talk all the time. And I really feel like it's our responsibility as Giants.com to reach out to the fans nationally and give them an access point to get their Giants content. Because it's hard for you guys to get it, you know, from your local TV stations or from, you know, the one topic on ESPN in a Sports Center update or your, you know, 5 minutes on NFL Network on a, you know, access show at night. I mean, it's hard for you to get Giant stuff. And, I'm proud of the fact that we can give you guys as much Giant content as we can, you know, 24/7 right here on Giants.com. It's important. And I'm happy that we can do that for you guys. So keep calling in, keep listening. We appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Bob in Seattle coming up next. Bob, what's going on, pal?
Hey, John. I do appreciate what you guys do. I'm an ex-Jersey guy here, moved out to Seattle, and exactly like you said, you keep me up to date with all the everything going on with the Giants. I appreciate it.
And Bob, you are up early this morning, dude. 7 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Whew.
Hey, I'm retired. I'm used to the hours.
I hear you, Bob. What do you got for me today, pal?
Hey, I want to talk about Kevin Gilbride's system compared to Ben McAdoo's system with the tight ends.
Well, you know what?
You had Myers back in 2012, you know, with the Raiders, and he had all those catches. What did he have, 78 catches, I believe?
Yeah.
You know, maybe our tight ends, you know, won't have to block as much. You know, with Gilbride's system, they had to be a blocker first.
Well, I'll say this. First and foremost, I'm not sure this system will necessarily be easier on the tight ends than Gilbride. Look, I know you're not going to have all those option routes that you had in Gilbride's system, and that's certainly going to help. I don't disagree with that. However, from what I'm seeing and from what the tight ends have told me in these interviews you're going to see on Giants.com over the next month or so, you know, McAdoo's moving these guys around all over the place. They're on the line of scrimmage. They're in the slot. They're split out wide by the sideline. They're going in motion in the backfield. They're being a lead blocker. To me, just from watching practice, it seems like the tight ends are in a lot more variable places than they were in seasons past. So that means they got to learn different things. So I'm not sure this is necessarily going to be easier on the tight ends. And all the guys have told me, too, that the tight ends very often are the first or second options on a lot of these plays on offense. So, you know, I realize the Giants haven't brought in a veteran. They haven't brought in a sure thing. But everything that I'm hearing and seeing, this offense is not going to be easy on tight ends, and the tight ends are a big part of it. So I'm not sure where the disconnect is there. If there is a disconnect, maybe the Giants know they have something in one of these guys that we don't. But it's going to be a very important position to see how it plays out over the course of the year. Now finish your point. I'm sorry, Bob, I interrupted you.
No, I'm just saying, you know, with Myers, when he played, you know, with the West Coast offense, he had all his catches. You know, maybe with with McAdoo's system now, you know, they're playing, like you said, different positions and so forth and different routes. You know, maybe they'll be more part of the offense instead of always having a block first. And then, you know, it seemed like Giants didn't throw very much to the tight ends in the seasons past.
Well, I'll say this. I think the tight end will still have to block in this system. But at the same time, I think they will probably be a more common receiver, only because I think there are shorter passes, and that obviously lends itself more towards the tight end position, and I do think that is true.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you taking my call, John.
All right, Bob. Thanks for calling in, man.
All right. Take care.
201-939-4513. I was going to piggyback on something Bob said there in terms of the tight ends. They are going to have to block, folks. That is number one. That's not going to change. And they will get targeted more, and that's fine, too. But again, it's really not going to be easy. They're lining up all over the place. Backfield, slot, outside, they're everywhere. So it's not going to be easy. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Drew down in Virginia. Drew, you're up next.
Hey, Lance. I'm sorry, man. Hey, John, how you doing, man?
So you call up and you insult me on my last show, Drew. Is that how we're going to play this today?
Hey, man, look, I'm sorry, man.
It's all right. I'm just playing with you. What's up, Drew?
I know. Hey, man, first and foremost, man, before I forget, because I forgot to do this yesterday, man, I do want to wish you a very successful, trip and, honeymoon and everything else, and hope that everything works out well.
Well, Drew, here's how I look at it. If I can survive this process of planning and executing a wedding, I can survive anything. If I can give one piece of advice as someone that's just gone through wedding planning and hasn't gotten married yet, so I realize I'm a novice and I'm a rookie at all this, but let me give some advice to all the girls and guys out there, both of you, okay? If you want to get married, here's what you do. Go to Las Vegas and just get eloped. It's a lot easier, and it's a lot cheaper, and the end result is the exact same damn thing. And you're going to have a lot more money left at the end, and you're going to have a lot more hair, and you're going to have a lot less stress. And I'll leave it at that. Drew,
I will say that. Well, as one who is coming up on 30 years, I know when we first got married back in 84, I should say.
Drew, make sure you know when you talk to the wife. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, well, you know, I mean, when you've been married long enough, it's like, our day came today. you're right about that, man. Sometimes you just feel like, you know what, man, why am I spending all this money? It's easier to elope. But let me get to your question, though, man. For me, every year, you know, I always go into this, I think I said this before, but every year I always go into the season worrying about our secondary. Ironically, I'm worried about our secondary this time.
Are you really?
Yeah, not so much. Now, bear me out, sir. Bear me out. Not so much that you know, yeah, on paper, and I have to say on paper because we haven't seen any plays.
That's fair.
Yet. Okay, right. So on paper, yes, we do have a very good secondary, okay? And, yeah, I would say that it looks like we have one of the best secondaries around. But I am always of the opinion that your secondary is only as effective as your rush, is that rush.
That's fair.
That pass rush, all right? And this is where my concern comes in. Because, I mean, yeah, you could be the greatest defender in the world, but, you know, let's not forget the receivers know where they're going. And if you don't have no pass rush and you're playing against the Mannings and the Breezes of the world, or, you know, and I'll even throw Romo in there, okay, you can wind up getting hurt. And so, you know, I mean, because, you know, I don't think it's no secret that we're all worried about our pass rush. We're definitely all worried about our pass rush. We're all worried about, you know, what's Kiwi going to bring and what's JPP going to bring.
So, Drew, I want to get more specific with you. So you're not necessarily concerned about the secondary. You're more concerned about the pass defense because the pass rush might not be what it's going to be.
Right.
I got
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'll say that. You know, because and again, I say I always worry about our secondary. This time I'm worrying about our secondary getting burned out.
Right. No, I hear you.
Because the pass rush isn't there. And I know you said you've seen JPP and he looks okay and everything else.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just kind of getting tired of the talk. You know, all the talk. This year I want to see you do. I don't want to hear you talking. I want to see you doing. Okay? And we're talking about JPP. If you're all of that in a bag of chips, let's see it.
All right, Drew. You got anything else for me?
Nah, that's just it, man. Again, you know, my issue was just the pass rush. And if you can speak on that. Oh, one, I do want to say one other thing. As far as Eli and the offense, I'm thinking that we definitely going to have to get the tight ends involved. You know, looking at it, I don't think that the tight ends are non-important. I think they're a very important part of this offense. And other than that, man, that's it, man. You know, for me, again, my question mark is this pass rush. Can we get there? Again, have a safe trip, man, and see you when you see you.
All right, Drew. Appreciate it, man. I'll talk to you in about 2.5 weeks, bud. Thanks for the calls, and thanks for the good wishes. That's much appreciated. 201-939-4513, and I think he made some really good points. Let's go to Bob out on Long Island. Bob is up next. What's going on, Bob?
How you doing, John?
Good to hear from you, Bob. It has been a couple of weeks. What's going on?
I figured I'd give you a break, and I'm trying to recover from that lousy draft we had.
Oh, why? Why do you think it was lousy, Bob? We got a starting center, a potential starting wide receiver, and a defensive tackle that could develop next year if you let go of Jenkins and Patterson, could be a starter next to Jonathan Hankins.
You're not still drunk on your bachelor party, are you?
I am not, no.
Okay, because that's a joke, John. I hope it's a joke. I mean, what we got going here in this draft, that missed up. I said we needed three starters, and we got zero. And because of that mistake, this whole team is out of whack, and we're going to see the Eli Manning era come to an end because he's not going to get to another Super Bowl without three pass rushes. And I told you that. And you're going to see this secondary fold when that pass rush isn't coming home.
Now, Bob, in fairness, when the Giants picked when they picked, there wasn't exactly a great pass rusher on the board for them to select. Everyone was gone.
You drinking a Kool-Aid, John? Fisher knows the deal. He picked right after us, Donald.
Oh, you know what? No, Bob, you're right. Bob, you're right. I forgot. For some reason in my head, I had Donald going a pick before the Giants. Right, it was the pick after. That's my fault. That's my mistake.
That was the Giants' biggest nightmare. When I called you up, I said they were going to pick Beckham.
No, you didn't.
And let me tell you something. If it wasn't Beckham, it was Cooks, who was a little... Who I rated a little slightly higher.
Well, Bob, I can tell you.
Beckham reminds them of Knicks.
Bob, I can tell you for sure. If Beckham was off the board, they would have taken Zach Moore on the offensive lineman. I can tell you that almost 100% for sure.
Not happening. Tom made that decision months before, which made me want to. That's why I called you up. I said Tom's picking a wide receiver, and when they saw Donald on the board, they ran. I ran out of Radio City. I checked the tape when I got home, and I saw they put that pickup so fast. They didn't even think of Donald because they knew that was their worst nightmare. They were hoping he was gone so there wouldn't be no questions in the interview room why you didn't pick Donald when you just lost Tuck and you lost Humaniora and you lost Strahan. And here he is. He's right in front of you, a pass rusher. And haven't we learned that's the only way to win in this NFL? It's amazing. This is what happens when you have an offensive head coach who's making the decisions on personnel.
Bob, I can tell you right now, Tom Coughlin was not the man that picked the wide receiver. It was Jerry Reese. That is a fact. That is not my opinion. That is an F-A-C-T.
John,
that is a fact.
John, this isn't a debate. It's a fact. Tom Coughlin is in charge of every personnel move.
You are incorrect. Bob, you're wrong. I'm telling you, I know for a fact you're wrong. I know how the process works. I know you are wrong.
They lie to you. They lie to you guys all the time. And you guys buy into it. And you repeat their propaganda.
Well, Bob, time out. Time out, Bob. How do you know that Tom Coughlin's calling the shots? Please, tell me.
I'll tell you how.
How?
I'll tell you how.
Mm-hmm. Please.
I'll tell you how. Let's share a little secret. I go up there with my guys every year for 20 years. Mr. Mara introduced me to Corsi. Of course, yeah, I've had a million conversations. I can tell you his dream job was baseball commissioner. The way he feels about offensive tackles is you can manufacture them. It's up to the offensive line coach to get them ready. You can manufacture them. That's how he felt about offensive line. He says this whole game is predicated on getting to the quarterback and playmakers on offense.
Okay.
And that's it. And that's it out of his mouth. Tom Coughlin, whenever I talked to him, and I had a lot of conversations with him, and Schwartz was 10 feet behind me, he could vouch for it, he would ask me, what did he say? And my buddies, my dead friends used to say, do your job. We ain't talking to you. We talk to them. It's headlines. Tom Coughlin, we asked him, great pick. Meanwhile, we want to pass rusher all the time. Great pick. Thank God you're doing the draft. Well, I think I earned it. Right out of his mouth, I think I earned that. Yes, you did, Coach. You earned it. You got a Super Bowl. When they hired him, it was under when, of course, he took him. Mara wanted him so bad. And any head coach who has any kind of success.
Tom Coughlin was a Wellington Mara hire, for sure.
Okay. And Mr. Mara wanted him so bad. And Ernie told him, I'm not going to be around long. And Tom said, listen, you better let it known that I'm in charge of you got a GM, but I'm the final say on these picks. And Ernie said, no problem. And that was the stipulation of that hire, or he wasn't signing on with the Giants. And I know it. I came right from Ernie. You could get him on the show. You could talk. I know him personally.
Bob,
okay, so
all,
could,
Bob,
and,
all
he wants.
Bob, all I can tell you.
He picks to Tom, and this is why he's a weak GM. He's a good paper pusher. He's a good contract negotiator.
Jerry Reese is a scout, Bob. He's never negotiated contracts. He doesn't even do that. Kevin Abrams negotiates contracts, not Jerry Reese.
He's the hardball guy.
No, he's not. He's a scout, Bob. He was out on the road scouting players. He's a personnel guy. Jerry Reese is a scout. He's not a contract guy. Come on now, Bob.
Jerry Reese ever scouted somebody. It's about 7-8 years. He hasn't scouted anybody. He hasn't left that office. I know. I've been up at camp. I talk to these guys. He relies on his scouts to bring him the information. He gives Tom the choice of the... He picks the position. I want a wide receiver, I want a lineman, and I want a pass rusher.
Boy.
And that's what he gave him. And that's what I called you. I said, Reese has to put pressure on him. If Donald's there, you gotta pull the plug on him. You gotta talk Tom into it.
All right, Bob.
That was his worst nightmare, was Donald right in front of him, because
I told you before the draft, and I'll tell you again, Donald was not in the mix for the Giants when they picked. I'm just telling you, he wasn't.
Oh, no, he was in the mix with the scouts. That was the man to pick. He was in the mix.
All right, Bob.
Carmel made up his mind. He wanted a wide receiver, no matter what.
All right, Bob.
That was it.
Thanks for the call, bud.
Listen, don't believe me, but it's the truth.
All right.
And if let me ask you something, John.
We're going to have to agree to disagree here, Bob. You're not going to convince me that Tom makes the picks and not Jerry Reese, because I know it's not true.
Don't toe the company line.
I'm not towing the company line.
Don't honestly answer this one. Would you rather have a wide receiver who's catching 25 balls, a backup center, and a pass rusher that ain't going to see the field for 2 years, or would you rather have Donald, a man who's going to catch you 40, 50 passes as a wide receiver and a tight end, because we don't need them to block. We got enough of them. And Brooks, which was my third pick, which takes care of the safety spot. All three home runs. Or would you rather have what I just told you?
Bob,
a wide receiver catching 25 balls.
Time out. Time out. How is your second round wide receiver catching more passes than Odell Beckham Jr.? Seriously.
I'll tell you why. Because he's gonna be mismatched on linebackers while the receiver is gonna be trying to learn his position.
Wait, who?
I have 154.
Who are you talking about in the second round?
Out of 154 first round wide receiver draft choices, you know how many caught more than 30 passes?
I don't know that number off the top of my head. I do not.
12! This is a joke, this draft. Eli's only got a few years left, and they just blew it.
All right, Bob.
Blew it.
Have a good one, my friend.
All right, enjoy yourself on your vacation.
I appreciate it, Bob.
Hey, John.
Yes.
I love you. Good job with the Fed.
Thank you, my friend.
I appreciate it.
All right, Bob. Good stuff. Thanks, you, my friend. All right, see, I got an accent. I got some guy to get me upset. Good to hear from Bob. I love Bob. He's very confident in his opinions. I'll give him that. 201-939-4513. But, folks, look, all I can tell you is, and this is not me towing the company line. This is for me seeing the draft process take place, talking to the people in the room, on and off the record. And I'm telling you, the coaches have input. Trust me. I know. Tom Coughlin has input. I'm not saying that they're not consulting and don't talk about it. But I'm telling you, all right? Jerry Reese is making these decisions. The way the Giants organization has always been structured, going all the way back to George Young and Bill Parcells, you have your personnel and you have your coach. And quite frankly, a lot of times there's disagreements between the two. Let me ask you something. If the coaches are drafting these players, how come over the past years when you drafted guys like Beckham and Barden and guys like that, they never play? If the coaches wanted these guys and they picked them, they'd play them. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. In fact, I think you can maybe make the argument sometimes that the front office and the coaches aren't always on the same page, but the front office will draft some of these guys and the coaches don't play them right away. If the coaches are drafting these players, they'd all be playing in year number one. They wouldn't be sitting on the bench. Look, Tom has input, of course, as his head coach. But to say Tom gives Jerry Reese the list of positions that he wants and they're going to pick a wide receiver in the first round no matter what, because Tom Coughlin said it, no. In fact, Jerry Reese was one of the driving forces behind picking a wide receiver. And since he's become GM, the Giants have picked wide receivers high in the draft because, like Bob said, and this is what Ornery Corsi thought as well, you need playmakers on offense, and that's what Jerry Reese tries to secure. Whether it's Beckham, Knicks, Reuben Randall, throw Barden and Beckham in there. Throw David Wilson in that mix. They've picked a lot of playmakers. 201-939-4513. Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's going on, pal?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right, Jeff. What's up?
Okay. No, I just not too much about football today. I just called to give you a very sincere wish that everything goes well with you and your wife-to-be, and I hope everything goes splendidly for you. So that's about all I got today, bud. So you all have a good time, and I'll give you a call back after when you get back, and I just hope you post a nice picture of yourself and you and your wife with a very sharp-looking Windsor knot in your tie.
I appreciate it, Jeff, man. Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. You have a good one, okay?
I will. I'll talk to you when I get back. Thanks, Ben. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Roldy in Bayshore. Roldy, what's going on, pal?
Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing all right, Roldy. How are you?
Good. I also called to congratulate you and wish you and your bride love and happiness, and have a good honeymoon, and to come back safe.
I appreciate that, Roldy. I'm looking forward to it.
Quick question with the Giants. I mean, is McAdoo going to use Heinoski as the cool type of guy, or is he going to use Hillis? Because I'm just trying to, because I know I saw an interview with Heinoski, and he was talking about he was excited of having McAdoo on the as an offensive coordinator, and that he might be used as Coon position. But I thought, you know, Hillis was going to be that guy.
Yeah, to me, Hillis fits that role better than Heinoski does. I think we'll get a better feel of who's going to want to use in that spot when we get the preseason games. It's hard to tell in spring practice.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I figure Hillis is probably a better role for him, for that Coon type of position. But anyways, I just wanted to really call, you know, try. I don't know if you got my tweet. I wanted to just, you know, congratulate you, wish you and your bride that love and happiness. Quick question.
Yeah.
You think Melo comes back to us or he leaves? I mean, it's funny how LeBron just opted out of his contract today, a day after Melo opted out. So I don't know. I'm kind of nervous right now.
Honestly, Roldy, and it's funny. I'm taking off my Knick reporter hat for a second. I'm just going to have my Knick fan hat on. And when I think about Carmelo leaving, you know what the funny thing is? It doesn't really bother me that much. And I can't quite put my finger on why. And it's,
why?
It's something it's something that I'm just not that panicked or freaked out about. And I think this is why. And again, I like Melo. I think you can win a championship with him. I think he's a better player than most. So it's not like I'm one of these like anti-Melo guys that thinks he's a chucker and he's selfish and he can't win. I'm not one of those guys. But to me, even if you bring him back, next year, what's the ceiling for this team? What, like 40 to 45 wins? Something like that with the talent they have on their roster? So I'm not that excited about next year. And I feel like in 2 or 3 years, Melo's going to start to decline. He's never been in the best shape. He's going to be 33 years old, and that's usually when players start to decline a little bit. And at that point, I'm not sure the Knicks are going to have the pieces to put around him yet to win. So part of me almost wants to, like, tear the whole thing down for 1 year. You sign and trade Melo, you get a number one draft pick back. You trade Tyson Chandler, you get a number one draft pick back. Even if you want to move Shumpert, you can try to get a one or a two back. You recoup all those draft picks you lost. You bring in some young players. You build the team patiently around your young coach and Derek Fisher. You use your free agent money in 2015 wisely. You don't have to go out there and sign two max players in a panic and say, we have to try to win now because you have to win with Melo because he's getting older. And part of me almost wants to do something the Knicks have never done before. Build the team responsibly, slowly, through the draft. Build a culture here. Do it the right way. Is that a sure thing? It's certainly not. But I'm just tired of trying to fix everything on the fly, man. They've been trying to do it for 15 years, yeah. And it hasn't worked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just feel like if Melo leaves, we're going to be irrelevant, and we're going to be set back for another good 10 years again.
Roldy, I'll say this. If you trade Melo in the wrong deal, I think you could do that. But if you get back young players or draft picks,
you can do a sign and trade.
Yeah, well, I'm saying if you can get back some draft picks, I think you'll be okay. Remember, the Knicks actually have their draft pick next year too. So if Melo walks, yeah. and if he does, they'll be terrible next year. They'll be 15 to 18 wins terrible. At least they'll have a pick in the top five of the draft where they can bring in potentially a very good player next year.
I hope so. Good luck with everything, John. I appreciate it. Get back safe, all right? Good luck with everything.
Will do, Roldy. Talk to you when I get back, man. I appreciate it. 201-939-4513. And I even got to talk a little Knick basketball my last day, too. That's also very exciting. Two more calls before we say goodbye. Steve in D.C. Steve, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's happening, John? I know you got dead man walking, baby. Just do what you're telling. You won't get hurt. Best of luck to you in the midst, okay?
I appreciate it, man.
I was just going to tune in today, man. But, you know, I have to jump on the Bob bandwagon. I cannot be, just like you, I cannot be convinced that Jerry Reese is the one who negotiates the deal and a Tom Conference pick. There's nothing you can really say to me to make me think anything differently.
I don't even know. I hear you.
I mean, the thing is this, you know, I do have some inside knowledge, too, but I'm not going to name drop. But the thing is this, I mean, you know, it just seems like it's pretty cut and clear to me. Why would you think Tom Coughlin does not figure what he wants, or at least what he wants on the menu? I can't say we don't know what player is going to be there in the draft, but I have no doubt in my mind that he's not saying, I need this position, I need that position, and has, you know, his purposes. I mean, obviously, you can, you know, look at the Syracuse players and the Notre Dame players and, you know, and so forth. I won't even go there, but it just seems painfully obvious. I just can't believe that you think that Tom Coughlin does not have major input, at the very least, of the players we get. Why wouldn't he such an established coach? And I heard something about that when he first got hired, too, that was one of the prerequisites. That was one of the prerequisites of him coming here, if he wanted to be able to, you know, control over the personnel.
Hey, look, Steve. I'm not saying that Tom Coughlin doesn't have input. I'm not saying he doesn't have input, but I can tell you that Jerry Reese drives the draft process. He's the one that does all the evaluations with Mark Ross. He's the one that builds the draft boards. And, yeah, they ask the coaches what they think, no doubt about it. But in the end, trust me, it's Jerry Reese's decision who the Giants draft. That's all. And I know you're not going to believe me, but all I can tell you is that's how it goes, and that's the truth.
Well, I'm trying to think it's whatever – you know, position is up, you know, according to what Tom Coughlin said he needs for the team. I mean, that's Tom Coughlin's team, you know. So, listen, man, the last thing I want to do is call you on your nerves. And last thing, I know you got enough stress on you, man. But I just, you know, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it at all. I mean, it seems like Jerry Reese is always the fall guy when it's a pick that nobody likes. But to me, he's doing exactly what he's hired to do, and they negotiate the best contract possible. I think that this is 95% Tom Coughlin's pick. So that's all I got today, man. And, again, I wish you the best of luck. And, I'm looking forward to talking to Lance and see. You know, you're going to have somebody else on the show other than Anita and Paul?
It will be Lance and Paul kind of going every other day doing the show solo.
Bob Costa, we're not good enough for Bob Costa. I would love to talk to
him. Unfortunately, Steve, Papa does his Sirius show the same time we're on, so I can't get Bobby.
Can you get Antonio Pierce?
All right. I will talk to my folks here and see if they can bring on a couple of special guests over the course of the next couple of weeks. How about that?
My man. All right.
No promises, Steve.
All right, man. Just try for us, man. Just try.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, look, best of luck, Bobby. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Take care, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, man. 201-939-4513. And I had to have the last call be this guy. I'm sure he has nothing to say about football, which is fine. And that's Dave in Rochester. David, I expect you to give Paul Dottino a very hard time over the next 2 weeks.
Oh, man. Well, first of all, Jen, I got to say, maybe you should take Bob to Taiwan and get him one of those hot Asian chicks. That's what he needs.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
You know what it means. You got to get him out there. He needs a little excitement. He's a little high strung, that Bob. But
no, you know what? No, you know what? We need to get Lance the girl. That's what we need. We need Lance to loosen up a little bit. We need to get Lance hooked up with somebody. That's gonna be one of my goals at the wedding, by the way, Dave. I got a couple people, you know, a couple of girls that are about 5 foot tall that'll be right in Lance's height group. If we can try to hook him up with one of them, I think we'll be in good shape.
You know, a nice one with a backpack would be nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was hoping. I thought maybe he would, because weddings can be good times. You know, people drinking, having a good time. Maybe Lance will can maybe hook up.
Yeah, well, but, we will try.
You know, but I guess my question was, is when you guys were sitting at the dinner table and your wife comes over and she says, Johnny, where do you want to go for our honeymoon? And you're like, well, I'm going to go with this communism and world hunger. I mean, tell us how the Taiwan thing came into play.
It's Thailand. It's not Taiwan. It's Thailand. First, get it right, Dave. Come on. Those are very different places. Jeez.
All right. Sorry.
That's okay. Well, Thailand, honestly, Thailand was more her choice than mine. She's always wanted to go. And one of her bucket list things that she's always wanted to do is go see Angkor Wat. Now, Angkor Wat is basically the largest ruins in basically the world. It's basically from the same period of time, roughly, as like the Mayans and the Incas. And there's this huge complex and everything. So we'll be going to Cambodia for like a day to check out Angkor Wat. You know, basically make believe I'm Indiana Jones walking around ruins, which will be fun. And so that'll be one day. And then, you know, Thailand, I've never been to Asia. So it's something that I've always kind of wanted to do. And, you know, with the job that I have, with the job that she has, it's tough for us to get a lot of time off. So you can do that for a wedding. So we figure let's take advantage of it and go a long way away.
Oh, right. Excellent. All right. Well, I too just signed. They got a bunch of them today, but I just called to say, you know, we love you and have a good trip. Well, you know, we'll miss you and look forward to seeing you at training camp.
Dave,
and,
sounds
like
a plan.
Fun.
Hey, Dave, thank you very much, man. Good to hear from you, and I'll talk to you when I get back, all right?
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bud. Dave in Rochester. I haven't heard from Dave in like a month. He's been very quiet. Everybody, great job. It's good to hear from all you guys. I appreciate all the well wishes on the wedding and the honeymoon. I assure you, we will have fun. We will have a good time. And hopefully I'll be nice, rest, and relaxed when I get back on July 14th. Thanks for calling in. I kind of answered as many of your Twitter questions as you could. You know, mostly just, you know, not really questions or comments, just kind of random stuff. So I kind of replied as best as I could, and I appreciate all the well wishes, and I'll see you when I get back. I can check out. Let me see if there's some more Giants chat here thing. Let me see. No, I don't see anything that's different than what we've already talked about. So there we go. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you on tomorrow on Giants.com. Hey, Neil, is it Lance or Dots tomorrow? Do you know? I think it's Lance tomorrow, right? Then we got the little man. Lance Mendel's in here tomorrow, and he'll start the substitution process for the next 2.5 weeks on Giants.com. I'll be back on July 14th, the week before camp, as we get ready for the Giants 2014 season. And I love you guys, and you know what? You know that's true, but I'm not going to think about you for a sec for the next 2.5 weeks. Sorry, what could I tell you? The last thing on my mind is going to be shakes in Baltimore or Lennon, Maryland. But we'll see you in 2.5 weeks, guys. I'm sure by then I'll miss you a little bit. Or maybe not. I don't know. But I'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening. You guys are the best. And enjoy the Tino and Lance for the next 2.5 weeks. Have a good one, fellas.